Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening?
Science isn't about facts. It's about what we want you to believe.
Somebody kill me!
Radio, where we believe that we should never let a good crisis go to waste, especially if that crisis provides an opportunity to promote the cause of personal liberty, personal responsibility, and personal accountability. I am, as always, your host, the Chief, coming to you from somewhere in the vicinity of Portland, Oregon. And if you'd like to join the show, the number here is 949-272-9588. Well, anything interesting happened since last we spoke here? Yes. Oh, yeah. One little minor thing. It seems that Ruth Bader Ginsburg died last Friday. And the fact that she died certainly came as no surprise to a lot of people, considering she was 87 years old and in very poor health for quite a while. And, of course, it was even less surprising that the left had a total meltdown. The meltdown continues. I mean, we are talking Chernobyl on steroids here. Now, some of you may have heard, I spoke about this a couple days ago, last Sunday. I called into Tim Tapp's show. Largely because there were things I wanted to say, and I thought that it was quite possible that what I wanted to say would have been overcome by events by now. Actually, that hasn't happened. Things are proceeding, but I'm not going to go over everything that I said back then, because I talked for like 20 minutes, and I don't have that much time, because there's some other things I said on Sunday that, I might revisit some of it and throw in some updates, additions, things that came to my mind. But one thing I'll say, I'll start out with where I started on Tim's show. It's the kind of obligatory tribute to Justice Ginsburg. And I mean, while I say it, so you have to say things when somebody dies, but what I'm going to say is something, it's sincere, because while there was a whole lot about her that her performance on the court and such that I did not agree with, I always had a lot of maybe grudging, but respect for her. Just, if nothing else, the fact that she was like BFFs with Antonin Scalia says a lot about her character. And I can't say that I disagreed with everything. I mean, she was best known as a champion of women's rights. And interestingly enough, also a champion of men's rights. She was not into gender discrimination, and she was relatively even-handed on that. Her support of some gay rights and such, it was consistent. I can't agree completely, particularly the women's rights issue of abortion is something I, you know, just my morals, and I'm not going to get into that today, but she was consistent in her beliefs. Now, she was, I think, a little bit fast and loose with the Constitution. The Constitution is a living document, and it says whatever we think it should say. No, it says what it says. We have a procedure to amend it if we don't like what it says. It's been amended 27 times so far. So, all that. But nonetheless, Ruth Bader Ginsburg was a remarkable woman, and she had a remarkable career. For good or bad, it was a remarkable career. Now, that's, you know, you can also say that, I don't know, Hitler had a remarkable career. I'm not comparing Justice Ginsburg with Hitler, don't get me wrong here. They were just consequential people. And in some respects, they both made the same mistake, I think you might say, because, you know, several years ago I had this bizarre thought came through my head. One of the 17 voices in my head just mentioned something, and but actually, you know, a year or so after this crossed my through my brain, a noted historian said almost exactly the same thing that I was thinking, which was that, well, my thought was, had Hitler simply, after 6 years in power, you know, we're talking early 1939, had he stepped down from power, went to Bavaria, retired, he might well have been remembered as the greatest statesman in German history, simply because if you look at where Germany was when he took power, their economy was devastated. It was in the middle of the Depression, and they were been forced to pay the reparations from World War One, and they were in a terrible state. And by 1939, he had made Germany a very powerful country economically, militarily, diplomatically. He was able to unite the German-speaking people, taking part of Czechoslovakia and Austria, and he did it all without firing a shot. So, there you go. But the mistake he made was he got a little too caught up in his accomplishments, his persona. He was too into himself, and he just hung around too long, and the rest is history. So, Bader Ginsburg, she hung around too long. Had she retired in 2015, even though the Senate was controlled by Republicans at the time, I think had President Obama nominated, say, Merrick Garland, not exactly a far-left loon, he probably would have got confirmed. But she hung around, and here we are. So, moving up to today, President Trump has said that he will announce his pick after, you know, next Friday or Saturday. He did not want to announce his nominee until after Justice Ginsburg's funeral, and I think that's a classy move. He did announce that the nominee would be a woman. not a good move. A few weeks ago, I talked about before Biden announced his vice presidential pick that he had boxed himself in by announcing that it would be a woman and hinting that it would very strongly it would be a woman of color, whatever that means. So therefore, he boxed himself in. He eliminated a whole lot of qualified candidates. There were only a very few to choose from, none of them very good. But now he's got what he's got. So Trump should not have boxed himself in. He should have, you know, kept them guessing. In fact, when Trump would be asked about it, he should have said, and this would have fit into his normal speech pattern, he would have said, well, I have a list, and this list has lots of good men and women on my list, so I'll choose one of those. You see, that would have kept them guessing, especially if he sounded like he said men and was hesitated and then threw in women as an afterthought. Everyone would have, you know, read all kinds of things into that. But you see, right now, all the rape victims that they had all lined up to accuse whatever man he might have nominated, well, they're all back on the shelf, you know, until they might be needed later on. So, yeah. Now, like I said, the reason I called into Tim Tapp's show on Sunday was I thought that he might have well made the announcement by now. But, it's actually, you know, waiting until after the funeral is probably a good move. There's still time. And there's a few things he has to determine before he makes his announcement. Number one, he has to make sure that whoever he nominates, whatever woman it is, actually wants the job. I mean, we saw what happened to Brett Kavanaugh, and I can understand anybody who has a really cush job on one of these circuit courts of appeal might just be happy to stay there and not have to go through it, because even if it is a woman, they'll have to go to a different shelf to get the men who will accuse her of sexual harassment, sexual politics, all sorts of moral turpitude, whatever. And so not only does the president have to make sure that, you know, the candidate is willing to take the job, he has got to find someone who is as squeaky clean as possible. You know, no nanny issues, things like that. It's not going to fly because they are going to throw everything at her. And it also gives, you know, the president and Senator McConnell, they got to keep their Republican Senate caucus in line. The news this morning was that Mitt Romney, who is a big question mark, has said that he's on board with holding a vote. So, I mean, he didn't say he would necessarily vote for the nominee, but neither is anybody else because we don't know who it is yet. But he is on board, and that's 51 senators who are committed to, agreeing to go ahead with a vote. So that's all that McConnell needs. The only two holdouts who've sort of come out that saying they are against it are Susan Collins of Maine. Now, if she's forced into a vote, she has never, as I understand it, voted against confirming a Supreme Court justice. So, assuming it is a highly qualified jurist that Trump nominates, she may well vote in favor. She's worried about her election and such. So, but I don't think that voting against a qualified nominee is going to help her. It'll lose her as many votes as it gets her. So she should vote her conscience somehow, you know, just as she has done. Just look at the issues, and she's been good at that. And, of course, there's Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. She said she would not support a vote. I don't know if in Alaska if voting against a qualified nominee would get her a whole lot of points. In fact, I had even my leftist blue checkmark guy friend on his thread, somebody had, and he agreed, somebody had suggested that maybe Murkowski was just kind of holding out to see what she could get for her support. And that may even be the case. So, well, that's where we are. I think, who will he nominate? The two names that we've heard most are Amy Coney Barrett and what's her name, Barbara Lagoa or something. Barrett has been kind of smeared lately because, you know, as her family belonged to some group that was supposed to be for the Handmaid's Tale, although just an hour or so ago I read that Newsweek or somebody who put that out has retracted. It was a group like the group or something like that. So, but that might be an issue. One thing I did suggest when I spoke on the Tim Tapp show, and Tim Tapp is joined me in the chat room. Nice to have you. Also, Stephen from Michigan is listening in on the switchboard. Nice to have you here, all as always. That maybe Trump should try to nominate a more, let's say, Amy Coney Barrett is known as a very, very staunch pro-life justice. I don't know what she would do, but one gets the impression she might be one of those justices who sort of looking around for cases to bring before the court that might overturn Roe versus Wade. Maybe Trump should nominate somebody more in the Brett Kavanaugh mold. Yes, a constitutional conservative, but someone who is known to have a penchant for respecting precedent and not wanting to overturn anything that the court has done before without a very, very compelling reason. Maybe if he nominates somebody like that, the Democrats might be more willing to go along, especially if he sort of hints or maybe even flat out says this nomination is only good until the election, if I win and we keep control of the Senate, you get Amy. That might be enough to grease the skids, as it were. So I don't know. Once again, we don't know who he's going to nominate. All the smart money seems to be on one of those two women. There are a few other women on his list. So we'll see. It'll be interesting. He'll have time, and there will still be time. I think they will expedite it. But, you know, once again, like I say, got to be squeaky clean because people are going to come out of the woodwork with every kind of accusation against whoever the nominee is, and they will be demanding hearings, and then they'll want to put a hold on the hearings because we'll need an FBI investigation and we'll need to consult our Ouija board and all that stuff. So got to get moving fast. Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell have got to expedite the process as much as possible because, as been pointed out, the left, the Democrats, are probably, unless it reaches my magic formula where Trump gets 270 electoral votes in states that he wins by 10% minimum, the election is going to be litigated and litigated, and it may more than likely end up before the Supreme Court. We do not want an even number of judges on the court to be able to make some kind of a decision. So there's that. Okay, now, got a few minutes left. I think I got time to cover this thing. I am going to lighten this up a little bit. All aboard for the train to Crazy Town. Yeah. Well, speaking of Crazy Town, Crazy Cajun has just joined us in the chat room. Okay. I have to explain my train of thought of how I got to the point where I wanted to talk about this. It just happened like last night. I read an article in Town Hall by one of the cleverest writers that's out there, Kurt Schlichter. He has been a guest on Annie's show. I love this guy. And, you know, he makes his points, but really funny. And he put out a column yesterday, some questions for Joe Biden. And I'm just going to read the first paragraph of his column and take it from there. Writes, "If our media was not a bubbling cauldron of dung, Grandpa Badfinger would be getting hit with real questions instead of being lobbed inane softballs like, some people say Trump is literally Hitler, while others say he's only figuratively Hitler. What kind of Hitler do you think Trump is?" Yeah. Literally Hitler. Do these people understand the meaning of the word literally? And then it got, then, you know, one of those 17 voices in my head sort of, you know, whispered something. Well, is it possible that Trump is literally Hitler? And the other voice said, well, I don't know. Let's ask the Dalai Lama. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, the Dalai Lama was not returning my calls, so I'll just have to have my virtual Dalai Lama to explain things. Now, of course, we all know who the Dalai Lama is, but who does the Dalai Lama think the Dalai Lama is? Because you understand where he's coming from and who he believes that he is. In that Eastern religions, Buddhism, there's the belief system in reincarnation. So, you know, the current Dalai Lama is the 14th Dalai Lama. Tim Tapp just said that the Dalai Lama always takes his calls. Okay. Well, I will be waiting for him to be I'll call into your show later on, and, you know, and I'll ask him these questions. But speaking for the His Holiness, you know, they believe in reincarnation, and the Dalai Lama believes that, okay, he is the reincarnation of the previous Dalai Lama, who is the reincarnation of the Dalai Lama. So the Dalai Lama is literally the same person as the first Dalai Lama, who lived around 1300 or something like that. So, you know, and the way it works is when the Dalai Lama, when he starts getting up there in age, I imagine he's already done this. He's supposed to write a little note, you know, saying where to look, where he plans to be reincarnated, and with a series of, like, questions and riddles that they should ask some young person, you know, to see who is the real Dalai Lama. And you can call me cynical, but I suspect that they go around right after, you know, to the place and talk to all the mothers of the boys of the right age and say, well, hey, you know, your kid might be the Dalai Lama, so mind if we come by in a few years and ask him a few questions? So, and by the by, you know, on my way out, here's a list of the questions we're going to ask him, and here's the answers. That way, you know, they can find a 5-year-old kid who's sharp enough to have learned all this stuff, and he can be the Dalai, but just, I don't know. But, okay, just running short on time, so let's run the numbers. Is Trump literally Hitler? Okay, Hitler died on April 30th, 1945. Now, the good news there is Joe Biden was born on November 20th, 1942. So it is impossible for Joe Biden to literally be Hitler. But what about, you know, it is possible for Biden to be Hitler's illegitimate son, but, you know, that doesn't matter. Now, you figure when Hitler died April 30th, 1945, you have to figure with all the deaths and things that were going on and all the unpleasantness at that period of time, you know, because he died after, you know, five and a half years of World War II, a lot of dead people, not a lot of people starting families. You got to figure Hitler's soul probably had to stand in line for quite a while before he was reincarnated. So, Donald Trump was born June 14th, 1946, a little more than a year after Hitler died. So, I don't know. It is just might be possible that Trump is literally Hitler. I don't know. But, of course, you know, like I said, it's probably a pretty long line. I don't know if, you know, it's really likely that Trump is literally Hitler. Now, if the line was even longer than I thought, I mean, say the line was 7 years long. Do you know what that means? That means it's possible that I am literally Hitler. Yeah. So, since I'm running out of time here, I'll just kind of leave it there. 30 minutes from now, we will have the one person we are absolutely sure is not literally Hitler, Tim Tapp, will be coming up with Tap Into the Truth. And, well, I'll give you a week to, just in case I am literally Hitler, I'll give you a week to, you know, practice your straight arm salute so that you can give me a Sieg Heil next week. Tell
sailing out on the sea, make a sailor so long. About her, thinking now about being.